Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one of them tomorrow morning. But you know, head on over there anyways. You just never know what might pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Twitter feed, which is, come on, we know this by now. It's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
All right, Dan, I have huge, unbelievable breaking news from last night. As you know, Mr. Fantasy and I had been playing phone tag, and you had mentioned if I had talked to him. I did finally get the opportunity to speak to him last night, just for a very short time. But he did inform me that our Money League draft will be, I want to double check to make sure I got the date correct here. It looks like it is going to be March 25th. That would be a Sunday morning. You know, as you know, the season starts in March this year, so everything is rolling a little early. But believe it or not, Dan, and I know you're not going to believe this one, Mr. Fantasy is going to be out of town. So he told me that he will only be available for the first couple rounds of the draft, and I will have to handle the remainder of it. That's a huge shock to you, right? Because I almost fell off my couch when he told me yesterday.
Well, I mean, is it an online one again, or are you guys all meeting?
Well, we normally meet at his office, so obviously him being out of town puts a big kink in that. So we're going to do the 15-hour draft online again. Because these guys take forever to draft. You think our drafts are long, you should try to sit through one of these suckers. So, but yeah, I was shocked. Because, you know, when he said, well, you know, I'm going to be out of town, I thought he was just going to say, okay, well, you know, we're not going to play. And my guess is he won't be in our leagues this year because he'll be out of town. So he won't be able to do the live draft, and he's not going to go through the trouble of setting up his picks. So my guess is we won't have him to feast on in our baseball leagues. But yeah, I was completely shocked. So I'm trying to decide my strategy, Dan. I was thinking maybe after he leaves, I should just go through and pick all rookies. So.
I could tell him
I was tanking to try to get a better draft pick next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, again, you don't get to see the side of Mr. Fantasy that Dan and I get to see when he's not on the podcast with us. So yeah, it was a huge surprise when he said, you're going to have to do the draft. I was like, wait, who is this? Did I call the wrong number? Like, how did this happen? So, but he also did imply that when we sucked, it would be my fault. So, you know, that's just kind of how it works out. So, but yes, that was my breaking news. But all right, well, you know, I was thrilled. So, but you did mention that I should pick all Brewers, and I probably will attempt to land some Brewers. We talked yesterday about the deal that brought them Christian Yelich, and then they solidified their outfield even more by giving Lorenzo Cain a 5-year deal. So here's the contract details, Dan. He'll make $13 million next season, $14 million in 2019, then $15 million in 2020. It continues to go up, $16 million in 2021, and then $17 million in 2020. He'll also receive a deferred payment of $1 million in each of the 5 years following the contract's conclusion. He has an interesting no trade clause worked in. In 2019, he can block deals to 15 teams. In 2020, he can block deals to 7 teams. And then in 2021 and 2022, he can block deals to 5 teams. So it's an interesting setup in the contract. I honestly, yesterday, I didn't think they were going to make this move. You know, once they brought Yelich in, because their outfield looked pretty set. But, you know, now we're looking at a Brewer outfield of, my guess is, Ryan Braun in left, Lorenzo Cain in center, and Christian Yelich in right. Is that what you're seeing out of this team?
That's what the MLB is projecting.
So, that's a pretty formative, you know, outfield. I mean, you know, Cain is still a young guy. Braun is, I think he's a little past his prime, but I know he's under contract for a long time, so they're kind of stuck with him. And Yelich is again, another young guy on a really, really good team-friendly deal. They just became even more interesting. And then the new rumor, Dan, is obviously, you know, they've probably spent their money now, so they're probably out of the, you know, Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta, Alex Cobb type of sweepstakes with the money those guys won. But apparently they've reached out to Tampa Bay, and they're the next team in line to attempt to trade for Chris Archer.
Yeah, let me go big.
So, you know, and again, they have the prospects to do it, you know, if they're willing to give it up. I mean, with the addition of Cain for 5 years, I know an outfielder like Domingo Santana immediately becomes expendable. The first rumor was they offered Santana straight up for Archer, but Tampa Bay quickly turned that down. They have some other really young, interesting prospects. You know, Keon Broxton and Brett Phillips are there. I don't know if they have any really young arms. I think we saw a couple last year, but I don't know. You know, if there's enough there that would interest another team. So maybe that'll be kind of a hold up in getting Archer. But, you know, they have the position players to do it if they actually want to ship them off. How big of a contender does Milwaukee become with, you know, with these couple moves? And, you know, I mean, they have a pretty solid pitching staff as it is, but if they were to add Archer.
Oh, I like it. I mean, I think it puts them in really in the race.
So I'm looking here to see what their young pitchers look like, to see if they have anybody who like jumps out. It doesn't look like they have a ton. It looks like their best rated pitcher. They have a AA guy by the name of Freddie Peralta, and then a guy who's scheduled for AAA by the name of Corbin Burns. But yeah, those are, you know, two names I haven't heard much or know much about either guy there. So we'll have to see if that's, you know, anybody or somebody they would be willing to, you know, deal. But I mean, it's been, I guess, you know, and I know you and I, you know, we've been through this how many years now, you know, winning the off season doesn't mean anything, but you know, two pretty good moves, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't put them in line for winning the offseason. I think they're, well, because I don't want to make any team want to open in the offseason, but I think they're in a pretty good line to, you know, solidify their team. They've got Christian Yelich for 2022 before he becomes a free agent. That'll bring him through his 30 year. By the end of that, he's making $15 million for that season, along with what do you call it, with Lorenzo Cain, and then I forgot, I think Braun is up until 2020, 2021. And, you know, with Braun being able to bat in front of or behind, or maybe in between the other two outfielders, I think that actually will help boost his numbers. So, you know, and if they're able to solidify their pitching rotation with Chris Archer, I mean, I think this makes the Cubs, you got to imagine that they'll panic and maybe throw too much money at Jake, you, or Cobb. So, you know.
Yeah, it will be interesting if that happens.
You know, I like it for the Brewers, but as a Cubs fan, I might not like it so much if they get in.
But yeah, you know, I definitely think it, you know, it improves, you know, these last 2 days, they've improved greatly, you know, with these two additions. I know they, you know, they gave up what appears to be quite a bit to get Yelich, but, you know, again, you're talking about four guys that we just don't know what kind of players they'll be when they get to the majors. So we won't know for a few years yet on what they actually gave up. You know, that's why they're called prospects. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, yeah, I definitely think it made a strong case for, you know, Milwaukee to be a contender at least. You know, even if they don't add a pitcher, I think they can still contend. I don't know if they could, you know, if they could win it, but I definitely think they could contend. So it's, you know, it's fun to heat that all up.
Who did the Brewers send? Oh, here we go.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, Lewis Brinson was the main guy in the deal. He's the guy with major league experience. And then the other three guys are still kind of working their way through the line. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we'll have to see. But we did get another, you know, I mean, not a huge signing, but at least we got a signing. The Kansas City Royals actually brought back one of their guys. They agreed to a one-year deal with Elcides Escobar. He just has to go through the process of passing the physical, and then the deal becomes official. So, yeah, I guess, you know, they lost Kane. Hosmer and Moustakas are still out there. I'd be a little surprised if they end up getting either one of those guys back with the money they'll probably eventually get. So at least throw one guy back. They got Escobar for another year. Oh, poor Kansas City with no money, huh?
I know, because they have to do something to compete in that league again. Or at, you know, number one, that division, which isn't the strongest right now, and then that league as a whole. I mean, it's pretty much Minnesota and Cleveland's league or division right now.
So, yeah. So, yeah, just, you know, but other than that, I mean, you know, Kane has probably been the biggest free agent signing, right, so far?
I mean, pretty much. I mean, next to Tyler Chatwood, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm guessing he must not be a Scott Boras client, right?
Oh, I didn't go that far. I don't think so, but I mean, that's the biggest signing. But not only that, I mean, it's a great signing. You know, it wasn't one that really, I mean, you can't really argue with him. You know, if it doesn't pan out in the last, you know, I foresee it if it doesn't work out. It'll be the last year and a half of his contract, but I think for the next 4 years, being able to have Lorenzo Cain and Yelich in their outfield at the same time, it's just going to work wonders for them. Sorry, I was on spot track right
yeah,
now,
you know.
Looking up Ryan Braun, who's who will technically be the oldest guy on the team at 34.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then, you know, as I knew it was something like that. You know, I know as the Marlins fire sale continues, apparently the offers are rolling in on JT Realmuto, with the Nationals being the early bidder. But the problem they're having is the Marlins have quickly asked for Victor Robles, who is the Nationals' top prospect and one of the top prospects in the game, and they're not going to give him up for Realmuto. So they're going to have to work that deal out or come up with another way. But oddly, they apparently also have Alex Avila or Avila on their list in case they're not able to land a deal for Realmuto. So, we'll have to see there. And you got to wonder if, if Realmuto goes, you got to wonder if Castro will get his wish and he goes next. So, after that, there wouldn't be much left. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't see him that going. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. I mean, you would think they would want to, make that type of move. I mean, there's no real reason to hang on to him. Now that Yelich is gone and Ozuna has been shipped off. And of course, Stanton went in the deal to get Castro. They're going to have a completely different outfield next season. I don't know why you would, want to hang on to a guy like Castro, who's going to have some value to a contender. It's just finding the right deal in the right place. So we'll have to see how that works out. And I did see the Mets also brought Jose Reyes back. So they're keeping one of their guys. It's looks like a 2-year deal. A 1-year deal for a couple million dollars with $500,000 worth of incentives in it. So he's going to go back to New York one more year. But yeah, so no gigantic names. We're still sitting and waiting here as February's right around the corner and there's no real movement. I know Schomburg Stu mentioned he saw an article that Darvish was getting tired of negotiations and he wants to sign this by the end of this weekend. We'll see if there's any truth to that or how it just kind of works out. But, it would be nice to knock one of these guys off the board and then maybe the other ones would get moving.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we talked about it. I think he's the guy who has to go. And, I was on our favorite contract website, Contract, and I mean, aside from Chase Anderson with the Brewers and Julia Chassin, everyone is, pretty much in on that team through 2021, no, even Chase Anderson. So with the outfield that they put together, the starting pitching that they have, and if they were able to land Chris Archer, I mean, they'd have their complete outfield starting rotation all locked for the next 4 years. The only kind of what are you going to do would be, Eric Thames is locked for 2021. Hopefully he works out, but Eric Sogard is UFA after this season. So other than that, I mean, they're in a pretty good position to spend some more money if they wanted to. They are retaining, and I forgot about this, they're still retaining Aramis Ramirez and Kyle Loesch on their books. They owe Ramirez $3 million for the next 2 years. And then Loesch two and a third for next season. So all things considered, it's not a A-Rod $23 million. So.
It's odd when, you look and you find some of these guys that are still hanging around, getting paydays from teams. From these kind of deals, I think are the Mets still paying Bobby Bonilla? Oh, so
yeah, I think it was 30 years.
I think that was the greatest contract in baseball history, regardless of what anyone ever made. So
hands down. I mean, no matter what you do, you can take that million and put it in the bank or invest it every single year. The interesting thing, you broke up Lorenzo Cain's contract to us. The way they worked it out is, he's working the opposite end of Ryan Braun, where Ryan Braun had $20 million this year and consecutively goes down to $15 million by 2021, where, Canes will rise as well as Christian Yelich's $14 million in 2021 and then the $15 million in 2022. So, when it comes to the tail end of those two contracts, they'll pretty much be on the hook for you know, 45 million between two players, then, you know, money doesn't get cheaper, right? So it's just the value. They're just going to have more of it by that time. So I think they're in a great position.
So yeah, they look like they're set here for a while. Of course, you know, we have to see how things work out, but you know, I mean, it's just one of those, you know, one of the things, you know, we get to do the fun part of the office doing that stuff. So
yeah, I think the most interesting part about what they have, a plethora of it, catchers, you know, Stephen Voigt, Jeff Bandy, Christian Bethencourt, Alex Hall, Jacob Nottingham, Manuel Pina, and Andrew Susick, which I think every single one of them, except for Alex Hall and Nottingham, played last year.
Yeah.
Well, and Bethencourt came over from San Diego.
Yeah, you know, I know. Yeah, I was surprised they added, like, Bethencourt and then Susack. I don't know, you know, what they, you know, why they felt they needed, but, you know, I guess they felt they needed to add the catcher. So, you know, it was kind of like, oh, okay, here you go. You got a whole bunch of them. I mean, maybe they were afraid they didn't have enough in their system to, you know, to fill out the minors, because obviously they're not going to carry four or five catchers on the major league roster. So.
So, but I think that does take them out of the free agent market for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think they'd have to get somebody off the books before, you know, they could add, you know, someone else. You know, because that's kind of how this worked out. You know, they got rid of Matt Garza's contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a little easier for them to add a, you know, a payroll guy there. So we shall have to see. But yeah, you know, and then of course, you know, the big story will be, you know, when are we going to see one of the bigger name guys get signed? I wonder if Kane being signed will open up the market on like JD Martinez, you know, because he's another one of those Boris clients who wants, you know, I think he said he wanted $200 million. So I don't know. I wonder if this will open up the market on him a little bit with a top, you know, more one of the top outfielders coming off the board. Because I'm trying to remember who else is out there.
I mean, there's still like 100 guys out there. But you did mention that Boston offered him something, but he turned it down.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was, might have been 4 years at 125 or 5 years at 125. But, you know, he, you know, like everybody nowadays, he wanted more than that, or, you know, one of those fun thing. So, you know, we'll, and, you know, I know a lot of people thought that was going to be the starting point and they were going to try to work on a deal, but nothing really came of it after that. It was that, and then, okay, you know, I mean, you hadn't heard anything since. And, you know, it was very akin to the Alex Cobb situation. You know, the Cubs went out and made him an offer. He turned it down because, you know, he didn't want to pitch for, what was it, $12 or $14 million a season. And that was pretty much the end of any contract or deal or anything else that was even in the works. So, you know, you got to, I mean, you've really got to start questioning these guys with, you know, what they're thinking or how their agent is handling this, because – I mean, there's no mentions, there's no rumors, there's nothing on these guys floating out about there. And, you know, the spots are getting eaten up. You know, teams are filling it with cheaper, you know, cheaper, lower tier type of guys. And, you know, I mean, that money's not going to be there. So their choices are going to boil down to sit out, which I know, you know, reportedly one of them said they would do, or take less money. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out here in the coming weeks, because, you know, we're not far away from these guys reporting, and I don't believe a pitcher can catch up if he misses too much spring training.
Well, you know, and here's my question with J.D. Martinez. How do you go from $11 million to $20 million a year when you're only anticipated to be in around 120 a game? You know, his big day was in 2015 where he started 158 games. But otherwise, he hasn't hit that milestone since he started. And, you know, not only that, he's only been an All-Star once. And then, you know, his MVP isn't even in the top 10.
Yeah, but, you know, he had a huge year last year with the homers. You know, I believe combined he hit 45 or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's looking to cash in on that 1 year. And, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I understand that's how guys do it. You know, you look for, you know, the one season, and, you know, you're now expected to pay him off of one good season. You know, it's like he had 1 year and now we're supposed to pay him. Well, how do we know that he's not just going to be a 25 or 30 homer guy next year? So, you know, it's one of those, you know, kind of interesting situations that you gotta kind of guesswork on. If you're the team, you know, you got to decide if he's worth it. But right now, I mean, the only team that's even reached out is the Red Sox. So, you know, I mean, it's not like you have multiple suitors out there running around after your services. I mean, you had one contract offer and you turned it down.
Well, you don't want to jump at the first line, do you?
Right. You know, but I mean, again, it's not like, you know, I mean, you would think they would have kind of turned around and tried to negotiate with that team. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe work that from the starting point, but it was more the fact that it was kind of like, you know, hey, no, that's not going to happen. You know, I don't want to talk to you. So, but here, this is interesting. I just saw this article pop up. I guess apparently, here's the headline to it, Dan. It says, remaining free agents considering starting free agent spring training camp.
Oh, where do you go for that?
Yeah, I'm looking to see if they don't really have much on it, you know, as of right now, on like where they would be holding it or anything like that. But yeah, I think like right now it would actually be too late to organize it. You know, I don't think they could get the facility set or anything like that to actually, you know, allow that to happen. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, the NFL having a free agent tryout for, you know, all the guys, you know, looking to try to get back in the league or stuff like that, you know, not the draft combine, but, you know, they had all the former guys or guys who thought they could play in the league, stuff like that. So, you know, it's like, we're going to get all these guys together and this, we're going to go here. So, you know, we'll have to see if they can put something together, but I don't really think that's going to happen just yet.
You know, they could all get together and wrap it up somewhere.
They could. So, you know, yeah, another, you know, I guess his comeback probably isn't going to go very far. Huh? If nobody else can get signed, you know, can you really see somebody signing Palmeiro?
If he takes a million.
So, you know.
For that.
You know, I mean, honestly, I was fully kind of expecting him to get a minor league invite. You know, I thought some team would bring him in on, you know, one of those deals, you know, come in as a minor league, you know, non-roster type of guy. But I, you know, it doesn't even look like he's going to get that now. So, you know, you'd think the Marlins would want to bring him in so they could at least attract a little attention to their team.
Yeah, but speaking of them, we're going to move off of it. You know, the only guys with money on the team are Castro, and so they're going to go from a multi-million dollar payroll to like $50. I'm exaggerating, of course, but, you know, why not?
I think Mark have a double-digit million deal, dollar deal with them.
Well, he's only paid through through 2018 and 2019. He's getting 13 and a half this season, 15 next year. You know, where Castro, 10.857 this year, 11 and some change next year, and then 16 mil for 2020. If he was able to get on the right team, you know, they'd be in getting him for a steal for the next three seasons. And, you know, you mentioned Martin Prado, and then the biggest one I'll have on the books is Lee Chimes for 2021, where this year isn't so bad, but 19 he's getting 22.6, and 2020 he's getting 24.6. So, you know, they still have to pay Edison Volquez this year, $13 million.
Poor Edison. All right. Well, you know, Dan, we did have the NBA All-Star Draft, and while it wasn't covered live, we, of course, do have the reports. It's Team LeBron against Team Steph, Team Stephen is how they have it listed here. Oddly, this article only has LeBron starters listed, so I'll have to see if I can find Steph Curry's. But LeBron, of course, the leading vote getter, he's the captain, he's the starter. Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and Kyrie Irving will be starting alongside of him. Now, on his bench, he has your guy Bradley Beal, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, Kristaps Porzingis, and John Wall. So now on Curry's side, let's see. Yeah, I just, for whatever reason, they didn't list his starters. See if I can find this way. Obviously, you know, Steph was the leading vote getter. Yeah, here we go. I got it. So he's a starter, along with Giannis Antetokounmpo, DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, and James Harden. The reserves for Team Steph are Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Al Horford, Damian Lillard, Kyle Lowry, Klay Thompson, and Karl Anthony Towns. So how do you like those teams?
Where's Jimmy?
Ooh, Jimmy Butler, he's on Team Steph.
Oh, you did say him. I didn't miss that.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that, you know, KD will go up against Curry, but that he's not on the same team as Harden.
No, and you wonder, you know, now, of course, they didn't list the way the guys were drafted, but you got to wonder if Durant was the first pick by LeBron and then Harden went second to Steph is how they may have went.
Well, the other thing I'm wondering is, did they even really pick these teams?
Yeah, that, you know, obviously we don't know. I mean, you know, they allegedly selected them. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. But I know humorously, they released everything in alphabetical order. And I guess since, you know, Russell Westbrook being the last name, W being at the bottom, he thought he was the last guy picked. and apparently wasn't too happy about it until he realized that that was just how they released it because it was alphabetical. So.
Wow, these guys are sensitive.
But now, were you surprised, kind of like everybody else, that LeBron actually picked Kyrie?
Yeah, I didn't. I glanced over the roster this morning, but I didn't really look at it. So I was a little surprised he picked them. But, you know, and that's why I kind of threw out there, did they really pick these teams?
So, you know, I guess it depends how bad, you know, you want to win, right? I mean, if you're LeBron, you pick the guy who's going to give you the guys who are going to give you the best chance to win.
Yeah, you're picking from the best of the best, so don't they all give you the best chance to win?
Well, you know, I mean, in reality, though, you know, some guys, you know, some players are better than others. You know, I mean, we know that. And, you know, I mean, it's funny because, like, when it comes to the All-Star game, I don't think it matters. It's not like anybody's going to play defense and guys are just going to, you know, take open shots whenever they want them. So it's not going to be that big of a deal. You know, it's just going to be who's hot and, you know, who can score. But, you know, I do wonder if they'll do something. I don't know if you remember this, but remember when they froze Michael Jordan out of the All-Star game? You know, Isaiah Thomas got together with some of the Eastern Conference guys and they froze Jordan out. I don't know. I wonder if LeBron is above doing something like that to Kyrie.
I don't remember that, but how did they do that? Please explain.
It was just, you know, your conspiracy theory. I mean, they just wouldn't pass him the ball.
Oh.
So.
I thought they kept him off the court.
No. They let him. You know, they let him onto the court. They just didn't give him the basketball. So, you know, it was difficult for him to, you know, really do anything. I mean, the only time he had the basketball was if he rebounded it himself. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those odd things that happen from time to time. I'm sure it's not the only time it happens, but it's the one that, you know, because the Pistons hated the Bulls, so that was, you know, clearly the way it goes, because, you know, the Bulls were the ones who knocked them off their pedestal, so to speak.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the King being essentially the ambassador of the league, he has to be better than that.
Yeah, but you got to wonder if he is, you know, I mean, especially in today's game, as, you know, petty some of these guys are. I the funny thing is, like, I could see them doing it and then him deny they were doing it. So.
You know, I think it's more likely they do it to Love.
Yeah, well, you know, Love being a bench guy, you got to wonder how much he'll even get in the game or, yeah, if they'll, you know, if they'll let him, you know, let even give him the ball, like you said. So that could be kind of humorous, but, you know, again, it's a meaningless game and, you know, it'll give him something to talk about till, what, February? I think it's February 18th they're playing. So, you know, we got a lot of time to see who does what and how if and how the Cavaliers are falling by then, you know, maybe there'll be, you know, even bigger questions about the Cavaliers then. So, because you did see, Dan, you know, they fixed everything. They made the switch. You know, they put Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup. Kevin Love got to go back to power forward where he normally plays. And Jay Crowder gets to come off the bench now. So everything is fixed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
It should be, right?
You know, as long as you... long as you know, as long as you're set and sure that, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny because it'll be his fault that they're not playing as well. But once the playoffs come around, he's going to be one of the key guys on the playoff team.
Yeah, well, you know, that, you know, the odd thing is, like, I fully expect, you know, when the playoffs start, for them to just, you know, find their way into the finals. You know, I mean, I can't really, I, you know, that wouldn't shock me at all. I mean, I don't think any team has really shown that they're going to be able to beat them in a best of seven now that, you know, every freaking game is best of seven. So, or series, I should say. You know, and I think, you know, I also think you and I both know that the NBA wants LeBron in the finals, so they're going to find a way to get him there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know that.
You know that.
They want to have the rematch again. See if it could be tied up.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, the weird part is, I mean, Golden State is a much better team than, you know, than Cleveland is this year. I mean, Cleveland is an old, struggling team, and, you know, I guess they just want to, you know, who knows what the heck they want to, you know, they're going to do. But it'll be quite interesting, you know, when free agency hits in the offseason, because I don't know, are you – of the belief, like a lot of people, that there's just no way LeBron's going back to Cleveland?
I don't think so. I think this is it.
So, you know, because what I found was real humorous is they were talking about, apparently Dan Gilbert is interested in selling the team, but LeBron is, you know, the team is apparently worth more money with LeBron on it. Of course, with the way NBA playoffs go, you know, teams go, I mean, you know, he's still going to get $1 billion for the team that he paid. I think he got it for $375 million. So that's not a bad profit there.
Well, no, think of it this way. I mean, Jordan was a player owner. Is it all conceivable that, you know, LeBron leaves, he values the team and then buys it?
Yeah. Well, somebody actually suggested that today, that he should sell the team to LeBron James. So,
because he's not going to own the Lakers.
No, not at all. So, but yeah, I just kind of thought it was I just thought that was kind of a fantastic idea. Yeah, have LeBron had a group to buy the team, and then could he leave his own team then? No, he'd have to stay, right?
Well, I don't know. No, I think he could leave. He doesn't have to play there to own it. But then he'd have complete control.
I mean, it would be kind of. Yeah, it would be kind of humorous, wouldn't it, if he was an owner and he was playing on another team? So, you know, I mean, I know that happened in NASCAR. You know, Dale Earnhardt actually owned a team and drove for another team, but I don't know how it would work in a team sport.
It would make the whatever team he's on in the Cavaliers game pretty interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, how would that work out? it would almost make basketball worth watching, but
I don't know. He's still pretty young. He's still got his game together. I don't see him retiring anytime soon. But I mean, he's already talked about wanting to own a team. You know, he could hire Derrick Rose to be in the boardroom with him. You know, that's his dream.
Yeah. Imagine the group he could put together to buy the team. I mean, it could be him and Wade and, you know, Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony and all those other guys he goes on vacation with.
I'd probably get Chris Bosh.
Right? Yeah, I mean, whoever else is there, I'm sure there's still, enough guys there to put money together to, that they should easily be able to afford a team, right?
Look at their Nike contracts.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have made hundreds of millions of dollars in their careers. They should be, they should be really, really in a good position. But
Thank you.
I just guess it depends if you're really interested in being an owner, or if you just hang on to your money. I don't know. What do you
No,
do
I
with
mean
all
it's
that money?
you start production companies and you buy professional sports teams.
But I mean, like, what if you don't want to buy a sports team? What else is there?
You buy a condo in every city.
Yeah.
That then you lease everything so you can expense it. You
Yeah.
can't expense what you own. If you own the jet and use it for company business, but use it personally, then you get in trouble. But if you lease it,
Yeah.
then it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Now
Yeah,
it's different. It's just
always a way to win,
confusing.
right?
Then you get your offshore account.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always always the fun stuff to do with all that money, right?
Yep. And then you build yourself a Hall of Fame.
Yes. But yeah, it was weird because I didn't realize, they were, I mean, to me, did it seem that they picked the teams pretty early? The All-Star team pretty early? I mean, we're still what, 3 weeks away? Almost 2.5, 3 weeks away?
Yeah, but I'm sure it's a marketing thing so that they can, get all the
Yeah.
jerseys pressed and ready to go and have them for sale before the All-Star game so that you can show up
Well,
that day or that weekend with the jersey.
they actually already they already have them available. They've already released what the jerseys are going to look like.
Wow.
So
Well, you got to get all that stuff
yeah.
ready and then I mean, like you mentioned, it's an all for nothing game. People aren't already that interested in anyways. So you throw the rosters out there 3 weeks prior, and then with all your broadcasts, I mean, let's be honest, next to the NFL, the NBA has a pretty sweet TV deal with the different networks they're on, and so many of their games being nationally televised where well, now with the Bulls the way they are, they're mostly just local. But you'll be able to pump that All-Star game throughout all two all two networks. But I mean, what is it? It's almost 7 days a week now. With the
Yeah, oh
NFL
yeah.
kind of rolling out. So I'm sure they'll have a big Super Bowl commercial. And get people excited and want to do it. I get it, I think it's fun that I don't know who makes the decision on the All-Star game that they were, wanting to pick captains, and I don't know. I think it would have been more fun to televise it and just do a lottery. Obviously Steph
Yeah.
and make it the top two voters are quote the captains of the team, and then just have a lottery. I think it would have been just that. I don't know. I think it would be a little bit more entertaining. Especially since, to me, it doesn't really seem like they really pick the teams. I mean, I guess today you could do it with teleconferences. LeBron, wherever he is in a hotel room on, his iPad with Steph Curry on his, and they're FaceTiming, and that's how they draft. But I mean, when you think about it, having obviously I've never wasn't technically, you know, high-end professional sports, but we were in a professional sport. And, but then again, my attitude's a lot different. I would not waste my time doing that. I'd be like, you know, I would have had, if I were LeBron, I would have had, I would have an assistant hired to make this draft for, you know, to draft these, to do this for me. I wouldn't even be bothered with it because it's just, at the end of the day, I'm getting the bonus for being the All-Star game and add that to my accomplishments, you know, for when the Hall of Fame voting comes up. But as far as having to really, not having to, but actually having the desire to want to pick the guys who are going to be on my All-Star team, I wouldn't really care. We're all friends anyways.
Yeah. Well, you know, and oddly, what I don't understand is why they didn't do it with schoolyard rules. You know, I mean, LeBron got the first pick, so Steph should have got the next two, right? But it doesn't look like they worked it out that way. You know, I mean, it looked like they went 1-1 and 1-1 and 1. And I mean, it should have been, you know, to even things out, Steph should have been given two in a row there to get going. But yeah, they, you know, that was a little disappointing because that's what I thought right away was, well, how are we, you know, how are we doing this? But, you know, and with with no televised, you know, no televised, you could be right. They may not even pick the teams.
No, because I mean, to televise it, you'd have to get these two guys together, and maybe not just the two of them. You'd have to get everyone together and, you know, do it that way, where I don't think it would have been that interesting whatsoever. You know, even that, you know, you've got Kevin Durant and James Harden, you know, and it's Steph Curry and LeBron James standing on the center court. You know, even if you are LeBron James, you're still sitting there biting your nails going, who the hell do I pick? I don't know who I'm going to pick. You know, how do you, legitimately, how do you really pick between those two? You really can't. So I really think it was just, you know, the association putting together the teams for them. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I mean, let's be honest. I just don't buy that LeBron and Steph really picked these teams out.
Yeah, no, I can totally understand that, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, again, how do you prove it? You know, you can't.
You can't. No, it's fine.
So
I put my foil hat back
on. You know, yes, you know, I mean, plain and simple, I mean, you can't, you know, you honestly can't say that this happened.
No.
You know, obviously, they weren't in the same room together doing it if they did. You know, did they do it online like we do? You get a pool of players and you have to make selections with the timer running down?
The timer, hell, they should have gave them an auction style. But, you know, I mean, think about it, though. I'm sure LeBron and Steph have great personalities, but at the position that those two guys are in, they don't want to step on any toes. You know, you never know what it's going to be in the next couple of years, who you're going to be playing with and all that junk. You don't want to step on any toes. And, you know, you still want to be friendly with everybody, so to speak. And I think that's why when the NFL did their draft, you know, it was entertaining having Deion Sanders, who you could probably just give Deion Sanders a microphone and a camera and say, hey, you've got 2 hours. And we, you know, he would go for 2 freaking hours, you know, no commercial breaks. Okay, I'm fine.
He has his own show. They do that for an hour after every week of the NFL season. So,
yep. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it would have been as entertaining had you had, you know, just to throw two names out there, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Well, Peyton Manning's kind of funny, but you know, if you had those two, you know, doing the draft, it wouldn't have been the same. Where with the NBA, I don't think it would have been as entertaining, you know, to televise unless you had Shaq and Ernie and Kenny and Chuck, you know, picking the two teams. That I would watch.
Well, there you go. That's something they need to look into. You know, have like, you know, Chuck and Kenny on one side or Chuck and Ernie on one side and Shaq and Kenny on the other, you know.
For hell, I mean, why not? You've got two networks. They're not really competing against each other, but you've got TNT and you've got ESPN. So why not make a Shaq and Chuck team, the ESPN team,
yeah,
or the TNT team, and then, you know, Jalen Rose and whoever for the ESPN team or ABC Disney team. I don't know what you want to call it. You know, that would be interesting too, because you get both networks involved with it and their broadcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, and with Chuck and Shaq, you would have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, you know, and you have to wonder. I mean, you know, they could divide up the rights, you know, with, you know, showing, or, you know, or they could just simulcast it.
Oh, yeah, simulcast it.
So.
You know, telling you, you and I need to be, we need to put together a proposal, Big Jack.
Yeah.
Now, who the hell are these two guys?
But yeah,
just two guys on the phone.
Yeah.
They restructured.
Yeah.
They completely restructured the NBA's All-Star break.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, because I mean, that would, you know, I mean, I would watch, you know, Shaq and Chuck picking against, you know, Jalen Rose
Doran
and Steven Jackson or whoever the, yeah, you know, whoever the ESPN guys were, you know. I mean, you know, they could coach the teams.
I would prefer that over, you know, no, I get it. You know, you want to put the two, you know, Steve Kerr and LeBron James as the coach. I mean, that guy who coaches the Cleveland Cavaliers. I forget his name because he gets stepped over all the time. Did you get that one? Because Allen Iverson stepped over him.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would be even a little bit more fun. You have a quote celebrity coach, and you know, having Chuck on the court, on the sidelines, or I don't know what you call it for the NBA, and you know, let Blake Griffin try to elbow him.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's not like you wouldn't have guys that didn't know the game. You know,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, Chuck and Shaq are Hall of Famers, and you know, Jalen Rose and Steven Jackson were good players in their own right. I mean, not to Chuck and Shaq's level, but they were, you know, they were good players. I mean, Steven Jackson, I believe, has a couple championship rings. So, you know, I mean,
well,
it could definitely work out, and I, you know, I think it would make it more watchable and more, a little more entertaining.
I mean, hell, you and I could be the coach. You know, give me a clipboard with the you know, the key on there, and I go, I look at all the guys, and I go, all right, you pass the ball, you shoot it. Break. You know, I mean, because it's the All-Star game. They don't do anything anyway. We don't play defense. We don't need a triangle. We don't need a square. We don't need any shapes.
Well, don't imagine, you know, and then, of course, you know, you mic the coaches up, so you get to hear Chuck and Shaq all night.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that would be the other plus for it. So, you know, I mean, it definitely, you know, I mean, there's definitely ways to look at it and go, oh yeah, we can fix this. So.
Mm-hmm. And have fun. You know, it's all about having fun, and you know, they're not going to play defense; they're just going to play. So let's have extreme fun.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, now that Dan and I have fixed the NBA All-Star Game, it's time for us to head out on the weekend. Now I'm supposed to be here at 10 a.m. with Mr. Fantasy on Sunday, so hopefully that happens. You never know with him lately. He's been a little flighty, but Dan will be back on Monday. You know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. But don't forget that Twitter feed, @SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to look us up. We'd be cool with that. As always, thanks for listening live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over and listen to it at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.